Good morning. I'm Leslie Thatcher. 8:06 on this Thursday, September 12th. 44 degrees currently here in Old Town Park City, reporting 49 degrees in the Heber Valley. On the phone with us from the ABC Forecast Center, meteorologist Cedric Hayes. Good morning, Cedric.
Good morning, Leslie. Yeah, we are seeing the winds of change now continue to make its way into the area as that cold front, much anticipated cold front, has moved on through the northern half of the state. So we're noticing some of those changes starting to move in with that cooler air. As you mentioned, temperatures down into the 40s to kick off the day. As we go throughout the day, it's not going to warm up a ton. In fact, it may be a bit of a shock to many folks, unless you've been paying attention to our forecast, of course. And we're going to be looking at those highs struggling to get back to the low 60s in Park City with that sunshine, but a lot of smoke and haze. And then in the Heber Valley, we're going to be in the mid-60s for highs today, with some of that smoke and haze increasing as we go throughout this afternoon. So we had that stuff coming in from the south and west yesterday, creating some very unhealthy air quality. Well, that's going to be moving out thanks to that cold front. But the problem is the wind is switching out of the north and west, and that's going to bring down some smoke and haze from the wildfires in Idaho and Oregon. And so we're just going to replace one batch of smoke and haze with another batch. So if you have been suffering from some of those respiratory illnesses when it comes to the smoke and haze, similar to probably what you can hear with my voice this morning, then you're probably going to continue to deal with that as we go throughout the day. But at least the temperatures will definitely give you a fall feel. Get the hoodies and the sweatshirts out and enjoy that nice fall feel. Now, as we head into tonight, whoa, stand by. We have gotten some freeze watches that are now in effect for a lot of the Wasatch back. It does include Park City. It does include the Heber Valley. Yes, a freeze watch is in effect as overnight low temperatures are expected to get very close to, if not a few degrees below freezing, as we head throughout your Thursday night into Friday morning. So I want to talk about a big shock to the system. We go from 90s to a freeze watch in a 24-hour period. That's pretty dramatic. Now, as we go into your Friday afternoon, look for more patchy smoke and some sunshine. Temperatures will warm back into the mid-60s in Park City and back into the mid-70s in the Heber Valley. And the weekend right now looks fantastic. We're talking plenty of sunshine on Saturday and Sunday. Chilly morning starts in the 30s and low 40s. Highs back in the 70s in Park City, back to the low 80s in the Heber Valley, and we'll pretty much hold there for your Sunday as well. And then if that wasn't enough, we've got a stronger storm system heading our way as we head towards the beginning of next week. That's going to bring us a much better chance of showers and thunderstorms, I think, across the area. And behind that system, maybe even cooler weather could settle back into the region here. So a lot of changes heading our way. Again, yesterday we were still warm and windy out there. Today, quite the change. It's still going to be a little bit on the windy side, and we're still dealing with the smoke and haze. But get ready, Leslie. It's definitely fall-like temperatures in the 60s for highs.
Okay, thank you. And on the phone with us now from Mountain Trails Foundation, we have Executive Director Laura Anthony. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie, and happy Thursday, Park City. We've got Corey from South Summit Trails Foundation reporting in that all of the trails in that area are good to go. Chris from Basin Rec is reporting that the trails in the basin turf are all ready to rock and roll, and the crew will be out clearing the side veg on 24/7 above Jeremy Ranch today and in the next couple of days. So just be aware, if you come up on the crew, give them a high five and continue on, but make sure you catch their eyes before you try to pass. They will probably be using some tools and stuff that you don't want to get tangled up with. Looks like Rick from Mountain Trails is reporting that, Ski Team and Red Bull will be closed on Saturday from 9 to 1 p.m. as we work with a group of volunteers on the day of service, the Park City's day of service. We do have a full roster for that volunteer day, so we have no more room on that, which is a great problem to have. Hike for Hunger is Saturday at the Canyon Village from 2 to 6 p.m. There's usually a really big crowd in that neck of the woods when they do this event, so just steer clear from the canyon's trails. Probably the best advice if you're going to go out in the afternoon, go somewhere else. The impacts usually are from the canyons up into the mid-mountain zone, so just be mindful of that. And Mia from Wasatch Trail Foundation's hosting a dig day at Dutch Hollow, 9 a.m. in the parking lot at Dutch Hollow on Saturday, and they would love some help doing maintenance work on their trail system out there. So That's about it. Have a great day, and we'll see you out there.
All right. Thanks, Laura. Stay tuned. Coming up in on the local news hour, I'll be checking in with from Preserve Midway, Katie Noble and Lori Stone. They'll have details about this year's Volks March. Later on, Sunrise Rotary Club member Jim Whitney with details on this year's Park City Shot Ski. That's happening Saturday, October 12th. And Park City Film Executive Director Katie Wang with a preview of tonight's screening, as well as kind of the rest of the month. Well, a sign announcing that a Best Western Plus is coming soon to Francis has piqued locals' curiosity, but KPCW's Connor Thomas reports the hotel doesn't even yet have a permit.
The hotel site is on the northwest corner of State Route 32 and Lambert Lane. That's the northern edge of town. Although it doesn't have a building permit yet, hotels are an allowed use under that land's zoning. That means the city must approve it as long as the developer abides by code. Responding to curious residents, Francis City posted a frequently asked questions sheet on its webpage Wednesday. It states the developer, Harwood Homes, is going before the City Planning Commission September 19th to begin the permitting process. Until then, the city doesn't know how many rooms the hotel may have. Heights on the property are capped at 45 feet. The city writes, it's anticipated that the hotel will not occupy the entire 10-acre site, end quote. It will have access points on both 32 and Lambert Lane. Besides increased property taxes, the city will be able to collect sales and transient room taxes on the hotel. The city will also collect impact fees, which developers pay to maintain and add infrastructure. City officials say those will help pay for water. The information page also highlights the new well and tank the city built in the Stewart Ranches neighborhood. Best Western's parent company, BWH Hotels, is headquartered in Phoenix, Arizona. According to Forbes, it operates 19 brands. SureStay Hotels are the budget options. Best Western's are middle of the road, and World Hotels are luxury. Best Western Plus is predictably better than your average Best Western, but a step below Best Western Premier. The site for Francis's new hotel has been ready for one for 2 decades. The city says it annexed the property in 2004 and at that point zoned it commercial, which allows hotels. There will be 4 total public meetings, 2 at the Planning Commission and 2 at the City Council, before the Best Western can be approved. It would be the first chain hotel in the Camas Valley. Francis says topsoil excavation already underway on the site was permitted by the Army Corps of Engineers. Harwood Homes declined to comment. Connor Thomas, KPCW News.
On Saturday, the Volks March returns to Midway, and in the studio with details, I have the president of Preserve Midway, Lori Stone, along with the founder of the organization, Katie Noble. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So maybe you start, Lori, and just tell us, what is Preserve Midway?
Well, Preserve Midway is an organization, a grassroots organization, that was established really to change the conversation to preserve Midway. And we helped pass an open space bond, and it was to preserve land and really preserve the rural character that Midway has.
Yeah. How much of Midway have you preserved, Katie?
Well, we can't take the credit for preserving it, of course. It's the landowners, and also Utah Open Lands, Summit Land Conservancy, Midway City all get a tremendous amount of credit. We basically pushed for the open space bond, and we're sort of the voice of the Midway with respect to open space. But so far, it's been about 400 acres in the last, 6 years?
Mm-hmm.
So, which is pretty impressive, because when we started there, the whole conversation was not around preservation. It was really more focused on development, and there's still a lot of development, but people are now really recognizing how important it is to preserve the rural heritage in Midway.
Yeah, so is that, it was the $5 million bond, right, that got approved?
Yes.
About 6 years ago?
Yes, in 2018.
So has that basically been spent?
It's been spent, and that's actually one of our goals of this event this year. Besides focusing on raising $5,000 to go to the Christian Mitchell property, which is on River Road, to kind of close the gap in funding there. But the second is to promote education, get a second open space bond passed. That is $5 million. That will be on the ballot this November.
Okay, so is that a done deal? That will be on the ballot?
Yes. Yes, the city has put it on, and we're the ones talking about it.
Okay.
We're the ones so far talking about it.
Okay,
yeah.
So as I mentioned, you've got a fundraiser, Volks March. So what's a Volks March?
Well, it's a fun word to say, and it's a German. So Volks is people, and March is walking. And in Europe, when you Volksmarch, you would invite people from surrounding communities to come and Volksmarch, come and walk and see our community and all the good things about it. And so this year we are Volksmarching. We're going to go walk and see what your bond dollars have worked hard to save, and that is the Kim Gardner Family Snake Creek Preserve, which is walking the path to preservation. And so we will walk that, and people from all over are invited to see what your bond dollars have worked for.
Okay, so it happens Saturday. When and where do people meet?
Come meet at the town square right behind the town hall and look for the gazebo, and we will start at 10 a.m. We'll have Kerry Hobbs, who helps at Swiss Days a lot. He's an awesome MC. I've asked him to play the Alpenhorn to send us off. And we have, just for the lead out, Eli the Frisian, who lives in Midway. And we'll follow him to the land, which is just down Main Street. This parcel is along Snake Creek. So come at 10, and at 10:30, Wendy Fisher, Utah Open Lands, will be meeting us there. And we're going to be having a moment to honor all of the Midway land heroes that have been conserving their land or are on the path.
Nice. And then how long of a walk is it? It doesn't sound like it's that far.
It's under 2 miles this year, and it's kind of however long you want it to be. But come to the town square, start with us there, and if you can't come at 10, come anytime. It's from 10 to 1. So it's very relaxed, but there's awesome booths at the square itself, which are preservation booths. And we're learning about the bond, what the bond did, but also having some fun. We have Shaka Shake, which is a fun food truck, but also we have a German street food truck this year, Rimmel's. So that's new for us. We'll have farm animals, our local guests. So come meet those, and we'll have Swiss Miss performing and Chris Jones. It's just going to be a fun, relaxed, connect with the community and walk. But we would love to see people coming at 10 and walk with us at the beginning.
Okay, so how do people register? I mean, it's a fundraiser, right?
Yeah, it's a fundraiser, but we're not charging for tickets this year. We're making things pretty simple. We're running with a skeleton crew at Preserve Midway, so you can just show up. You don't have to register. It's a free event. You can make a donation if you choose. We would love that, but you're not required to. So it's kind of nice if you want to check the weather, and if it's beautiful out, come join us. There's also the Midway Farmers Market, which is happening that morning, and that's a really fun event to go to. So perfect morning is, you know, Midway's Farmers Market. Join us for the Volksmarch. And for those of you that don't know what a Frisian is, they're these enormous horses. And so Eli is a huge black Frisian horse, and you can see pictures of him on our Instagram page. So he's pretty magnificent. It'd be cool if you can get there at 10. But if you can't, there's also a walk on Historic Main Street with some signage, kind of explaining what each building is and just deepening everybody's knowledge of the history of Midway.
Okay, and so with the $5 million open space bond on November's ballot, is there an idea for what needs to be saved next, or does that just happen based on what landowners come forward?
I know that there is a list of landowners that already have come forward and that would be waiting for this bond to pass. So they haven't released those names. I know some of the parcels, but for privacy reasons, we're keeping that. But yes, there is a list of Midway landowners wanting to preserve.
And this $5 million would basically just be used to leverage. Where does the rest of the money come from, you know, to purchase that conservation easement?
Well, Katie can also help me speak to this, but this last bond was leveraged some of the properties up to 7x, and so it can come from NRCS, mm-hmm. and also from private donors. Some landowners have even donated or taken like a bargain sale, so it's even discounted what their value actually is that saves that money. But Summit Land Conservancy, and I know Wendy from Utah Open Lands, have been amazing with their connections and fundraisers to help, you know, match those funds.
Okay. Anything else you guys want to mention?
I know that people are concerned with a bond that their taxes are going to go up, and property taxes are always a big concern. So for this $5 million bond, if you live in Midway, if you have a property that's $1 million, your taxes will go up about $85 a year. So, and most people think that for $85 a year, it's worth preserving more of Midway, the view corridors, the trails, the Sandhill Crane habitat. I mean, that's a pretty magical valley. So for that it's short dollars, but I do know that people are concerned about their taxes, and we're right there with them.
Sure. Okay, anything from you, Chris? Lori, excuse me.
Yeah, I would just like to see everyone come out and support us and go to preservemidway.org for more information and donate. Help us raise that $5,000 to help close the gap on that property that we can save.
Okay, Lori Stone, Katie Noble, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, Wasatch County residents will gather tonight as Calvin Giles is inducted into the Wasatch High School Hall of Fame. KPCW's Grace Dorfler has more about that.
Giles died at home August 6th after a lifetime in the Heber Valley. He was 99. He was born in 1925, grew up in Heber City, and played on Wasatch High School's only undefeated football team in school history. At 18, as a high school junior, he was drafted into the U.S. Army and served in North Africa, Italy, and Germany in World War II. He was awarded a high school diploma 70 years later. One of his sons, Ernie Giles, says he believes his father was the last surviving World War II veteran in the Valley.
Yep. As far as I'm aware, he is the last.
Known as Cal to most, he's remembered as a neighbor always willing to help, a devoted member of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, a loving husband to his high school sweetheart, Amber, and a role model to his 9 children. The Heber Valley changed dramatically in his lifetime. He saw the first airplane land at the Heber Valley Airport, learned to use tractors in his farming in the 1960s, and marveled at changes in technology. Ernie Giles says one of his favorite stories about his father comes from a day when the two were riding through the north fields.
I'm going to share a little short story with you. It was a cold winter day. We was going for a ride up through there, and I had my phone synced to my Tahoe. It rang. Visited with the fellow that had called for a few minutes, and I got off the phone, and he looked over at me and says, "Isn't that something?" And I says, "What's that?" He says, "I used to have to heat up a rock in a wood-burning oven to keep my feet from freezing off, going up here to feed it with a team and a wagon. And here we are, driving in a heated automobile, talking on the phone." I thought, man, he has seen a lot, I tell you.
Family members say Cal Giles believed in service and always had a kind word to offer. He taught his children to help neighboring farmers by hauling hay or picking rocks. Ernie Giles says his father was a pillar of the Heber Valley community.
It's been quite an honor to have him as a dad.
Cal Giles will be inducted into Wasatch High School's Hall of Fame at a ceremony Thursday at 7 p.m. in the high school commons. Grace Dorfler, KPCW News.
Rescuers caught up with a man that they had been searching for 2 days in Camas on Tuesday. KPCW's Connor Thomas reports that he went missing in Weber Canyon above Oakley.
According to Summit County Sheriff's Office spokesperson Sergeant Skyler Talbot, the man whom relatives reported missing this week is, quote, in good health. Relatives told authorities the man's car had been at the family cabin in Weber Canyon above Oakley since at least Thursday, September 5th, and he hadn't been seen at work. County deputies checked the cabin, located at the end of Weber Canyon Road on Iroquois Road, on Monday, and did not find him, setting off a 2-day air and ground search. Summit County Search and Rescue, the Sheriff's Mounted Posse, a drone team, and a Utah DPS helicopter deployed. The Sheriff's Office announced around 10 p.m. Tuesday the man was found in Camas by rescuers returning for fuel. The Sheriff's Office said he was involuntarily committed to a hospital for evaluation because of statements he'd made to deputies. The man's identity had not been released Tuesday. Connor Thomas, KPCW News.
Well, the Park City Sunrise Rotary Club hosting the 8th annual Shot Ski. That's coming up Saturday, October 12th. In the studio with details, I have Rotarian Jim Whitney. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie.
Yeah, so it is a fundraiser for Rotary, but it's also about the need, right, to outdo Breckenridge. Did they break Park City's record last December?
They have broken Park City's record, and so Breckenridge does their Uller Festival in the winter. And then every fall in October, we come back and take back our world record. This year, we'll have 1,385 people on a ski doing a shot at 2 p.m. on the 12th.
Okay. Tell us how it works. I mean, that's a lot of people to bring up to Main Street.
So we work with the city, and thank you very much to High West for being our premier sponsor. We have about 500 and something skis, and they're all bolted together in one big line. It actually makes a U-turn at the top of Main Street and comes back down the other side, which is fun because you can look across at each other. And we gates open at noon, and then we do the shot at 2 p.m. So,
okay, so people do need to pre-register.
Yes, you can get tickets online, parkcityshotski.com. We have general admission, and then what we really want to put out there is we also have the VIP skis and the sponsor skis available, which are custom wrapped, and you and your friends get to be on the ski together, and then you get to take those skis home with you. So we want to encourage everybody to look into that.
Okay, so do you have prices?
Yes, so general admission is $30 per person. The VIP ski is a $250 ski with that has three spots. It's all wrapped with the High West graphic. And then for $600, you get to keep two skis that are custom wrapped by yours personally. And you get that six spots, and you get to be up in the up at the top of Main Street in the VIP zone. And you get to design, I'll work with you to design those skis however you want them to be.
Nice. So you mentioned it takes about 500 skis. Where did all these skis come from, and where do you put them?
So Mike Lures, our infamous Park City Sunrise Rotarian and also the head of the Snyderville Water Reclamation District, they're kind enough to allow us to have a little bit of space out in his complex in Jeremy Ranch. So we keep all the skis, basically they're kind of under a stairwell, and it's a big crowd of skis. Every year we need to gather new used skis to be, and prep them and get them ready, and because the ones we sell to the VIP and the sponsor section, you know, we've got to replace those. Plus we grow a little bit every year. So it's a lot of work getting ready, but it's very fun, and we have a great group of volunteers that help.
Yeah, I'm going to say, it's got to take a long time. I mean, we got 500 skis, and they all get bolted together and unbolted, I guess, before.
Yes, so we arrive on Main Street basically on the day of the event, about 8 a.m., and we have a truck full of skis, and we also have pylons up and down either side of the street, and we have to warning tape that off to keep people, you know, essentially it's 21 and over in the middle of Main Street once we open the gates. And it's just one big giant bar right up the middle of Main Street.
All right. Kids can be on the street, but they're just behind a divider or
something?
Yeah,
they need to be on the sidewalks. The sidewalks are still open, and you can still get to your favorite restaurants and bars and shops and... But up the middle, you need to be 21 and over. And when you come to check in with your ticket, we check IDs carefully. That's a strong rule. And we have separate zones, so you get to check in at the red zone, the purple zone, the green zone, the yellow zone.
Okay. How many Rotarians does it take then to build that?
So we have about 150 volunteers. Different crews running the setup in the morning. We have crews that are running the checking tables. There's one at each of the stations at one of the color zones. And then a whole crew that volunteers to break it all down. The breakdown goes a lot faster than the setup.
Interesting. Yeah. Just get it done, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so as I mentioned, it is a fundraiser. And how much are you hoping to raise?
So our goal this year is about $60,000. Last year we made $50,000. And then all of that goes right back into the Park City Sunrise Grants Program, which essentially goes right back to all of our wonderful companies and, or, you know, nonprofits and community groups throughout Summit County.
All right. And I guess what people have a choice of is what, a shot of whiskey or a shot of apple
so,
juice?
So High West, again, so the primarily all High West double rye is the shot, but if you're not a drinker or just don't feel like doing that at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we will have apple juice. So yes, you can just tell the people as they're walking up, filling up the shot glasses, just say, I'd rather have apple juice.
Okay, and then how big can this get? I mean, are you gonna eventually just run out of room on Main Street?
Well, that's why we built, Mike Lures again, built the U-turn at the top. So this year we'll come down just a little bit below the post office. So we've still got quite a bit of space. The city very much does not want us to cross Heber Avenue. So we're working on that. But, you know, between Breckenridge and our program, we kind of have a handshake agreement. We don't go, we only beat each other's records by about 7 people. Because, yeah, you want to keep it sustainable and keep it going and not blow it out with too many people, and then it would defeat the whole thing.
Yeah, so do you sell out then?
We have every year sold out. This year we're already about halfway sold out for the general admission tickets, so don't delay. Get on to parkcityshotski.com.
Okay. And, I mean, Rotary just doesn't do anything small. I mean, it's just like, I mean, whether it's shot ski or the running with the balls. Yeah,
yeah,
I mean, it's like... That's what you do?
Yeah, big programs. Well, you know, we want to, I think all 3 clubs, my joke is that there are more Rotarians in Park City than anywhere in the per capita. We have 3 clubs, and they all do great programs and wonderful things. All 3 clubs are just fantastic. But, yeah, so we this is certainly our biggest thing of the year for us.
All right. And then in terms of organizations applying for those grants, when does that happen?
That, I think, usually happens in the... well, actually, we just awarded them, so it ends... Mm-hmm. It happens sort of starting at the beginning of the year, and we handed out all of our grants just a couple months ago in the spring, early summer.
All right, so you'll do it again starting next year sometime.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else you need to tell us, Jim?
Just remember, please look into those VIP and sponsor ski packages. It's a great thing, and you get to keep the ski and take it home. It's a great gift if you want to gift it then to somebody in your family or your friends. And, yes, tickets are selling fast, so parkcityshotski.com.
Okay, Jim Whitney, thanks.
Thank you.
Also happening on Saturday, October 12th, is the Park City's 70s reunion. So if you know of somebody who lived in Park City during the 1970s, or you yourself is, there's going to be a reunion on Main Street at one of the establishments. You can find out more by going on to the Facebook page, KPCW Local News Hour with Leslie Thatcher, and get details on that. Well, preparation for the 2034 Winter Olympics in Utah was the topic of a panel discussion for Park City leaders earlier this week. KPCW's Parker Malatesta has more about that.
Utah Olympic Legacy Foundation President and CEO Colin Hilton is playing a key role in establishing a new organizing committee to prepare for the 2034 Games. During a panel discussion at the Park City Rotary Club Tuesday, Hilton said he wants to replicate a concept he saw at the 2024 Paris Games, using Olympic venues for local sport exhibitions.
But they have given a ticket to every local citizen to be able to come out and see kids in the community performing at the Olympic venue in skateboarding. And they didn't care that it wasn't the Olympic event. They were at this Olympic venue and seeing this. So I was like, oh my God, we gotta do this for slopestyle, big air competition downtown Salt Lake.
Hilton says the spotlight of the 2034 Games could bring more sporting events to local venues in the years before. He says he was also impressed with watch parties and other events that Paris organizers put on in nearby communities that weren't hosting official competitions. Park City Mayor Nan Worrell, who also visited Paris, says the French's creativity with venues stood out to her.
We had some venues that weren't available to us in 2002. We are going to have Bonanza Park built, but canyons, as well as both of our resorts that are here in town, are going to have beautiful base areas. So I think that the creativity and the possibilities for us going forward are just immense.
Hilton says the new organizing committee, made up of elected officials and bid organizers, will convene this fall. He says the group's focus will be on early preparations and community engagement. Parker Malatesta, KPCW News.
A small informal club of Parkites meets every month to discuss photography. As KPCW's Connor Thomas reports, they're winning awards as well.
The Park City Photography Club says its members took home more than 25 awards from the Utah State Fair this year, including a second straight Best in Show. Photo Club member Howard Meltzer says the club's roughly one dozen members won 11 first-place ribbons.
And it was great walking around, seeing everyone from our club, which is relatively small, winning so many awards.
David Breslauer's Bobby Sox Trees was this year's Best in Show, and Breslauer also took home the top prize in 2023. Bobby Sox Trees is a monochrome work that silhouettes Yellowstone's dead lodgepole pines in a mist, backlit by the sun or the moon. The viewer isn't quite sure.
Just a terrific photograph, you know. He printed it on a white metal, and he had terrific mat around it and a frame. And, you know, it deserved to win.
Meltzer, Amy Eskind, Tracy Frankel, Alex Cascella, Bill Silliman, and Dave Winnegar also earned first-place awards in categories such as fine art, humor, landscape, wildlife, cell phone, street photography, and abstract photography. Meltzer's photograph will tour Utah over the next year. The Utah Arts Council selects between 20 and 25 photos every year to travel to schools, libraries, universities, and museums. The traveling exhibition piece is called Get Off My Lawn, and it depicts a bald eagle staring fixedly into Meltzer's camera in Homer, Alaska. All the first-place photos are available at kpcw.org and are on display at the Utah Fairgrounds upstairs in the Grand Building until September 15th. Anyone in Utah can enter a photo at the State Fair, which has four divisions. Open, fine arts, monochrome, and cell phone photography. The open division is divided into 23 subcategories, and entries are judged according to the photographer's age and professional level. Anyone is also welcome to join the Park City Photography Club, which organizes lectures and monthly photo challenges.
It's a really interesting cross-section of people. Everyone has their own slant on, you know, what they like about photography. So every week it's really a great learning experience, you know, seeing all these other ways of looking at things.
The club has a Facebook page of the same name and meets on the third Monday of every month at the Park City Library, Room 101. Connor Thomas, KPCW News.
Well, Park City Film will be screening the film anytime tonight and has its fall full schedule planned as well. On the phone with a preview, I have Park City Film Executive Director Katie Wang. Good morning.
Good morning, Leslie. Great to be here.
Yeah, so tonight's film, Anytime, is part of your Family Film Fest series. Tell us what it's about.
Yeah, so anytime we can find a film that reflects just the ethos of our community, that spirit of adventure, kind of surmounting, you know, seemingly insurmountable odds, we always want to program them for our community. And so Anytime is the new film from Anthill Films and Red Bull Media that celebrates the athleticism of the world's best free ride mountain bikers. So high adrenaline, amazing cinematography, just a great way to kind of celebrate the end of the season. We've had a great summer, and of course, looking forward into winter, we've got some great ski films coming up. But that'll be tonight at 7 o'clock. Tickets are $10 for general admission because it is a new release film. But we have $5 ticket price for students. So a little special incentive there to get the kids out and gathered together around the big screen. So that'll be a fun way to kick off, I think, the fall season for us.
Okay, and what have you got coming up this weekend?
So we've got a great series of films programmed out through the rest of this month, bring back some favorites from the Sundance Film Festival, of course, this past winter, along with some special documentaries. So I'll start with the weekend films. This weekend, we've got Good One, which premiered at Sundance 2024. And this is about a high school senior that joins her dad and his best friend on a camping trip in the Catskills. Then when the emotional tenor of the trip gets more complicated over the course of their journey, the dynamics of friendship, family, and conflict are brought into question. So fantastic film. That'll be Friday and Saturday at 7, and then again Sunday at 6. The following weekend, we are bringing back one of my favorite films, I have to say, from the festival, probably the most powerful and honestly devastating film that I've seen this year. It's called Sugarcane. It was the winner of the Director Award for U.S. Documentary at the 2024 Sundance Film Festival. And this is a portrait of an Indigenous community in Canada that's breaking the cycles of generational trauma that was caused by the Indian residential schools and finding the strength to persevere. It's kind of hard to describe how amazing this film is. It was at Sundance, it was at Mountain Film, just everywhere it's gone. It's really just been kind of breaking hearts, but also opening minds to, you know, a really dark period of North American history, certainly Canada and the U.S. Around the residential boarding school. So definitely a film I recommend for folks to see. Then we follow it up with Widow Clicquot, which is based on the true story of Barbe Nicole Ponsardin, who at age 20 took over the now famous Veuve Clicquot Champagne Winery after her husband's untimely death and revolutionized the industry. So a great story about a female entrepreneur that I think is not well known, certainly in this country. And then we've got a series of special films coming up, of course, anytime tonight, our Thursday kickoff to the fall season. And then next Thursday, we're back on the 19th with Black Ice, which is an evening with Olympian Akwasi Frimpong. He is the first black male skeleton athlete at the Olympics. And we'll show at the beginning of the night a short film about his incredible journey, which is filled, of course, with setbacks and resilience. I think a common story for a lot of Olympians. It is not always an easy ride there, but certainly he had some interesting obstacles he had to overcome coming from Ghana and Holland, as he did. And the film is entitled Black Ice. And then we'll have a panel discussion afterwards with Akwasi and then Emily Fisher, who's the executive director of the Youth Sports Alliance, along with some YSA athletes who are breaking barriers in our own community. So a nice way to bring that full circle. Tickets for that film are $10 to benefit Akwasi's foundation called Hope of a Billion. And then student tickets for that are free. So bring up the gaggle of children in your neighborhood. It's a fantastic and very inspiring film and conversation that we hope everyone participates in. And then we're mixing things a little bit up, going outside again one more time before we close out the outdoor spring or outdoor film screening season. We'll be back at the Pendry Plaza for the Fall Film Festival for 2 weekends, the last 2 weekends in September, the 20th and 21st and 27th and 28th, with films that will delight film lovers of all ages. The first weekend, the 20th and 21st, we're kicking it off with Kung Fu Panda 4 and Maya and the Wave. So a couple of encore screenings. Maya and the Wave is about surfer Maya Gabeira. Amazing, amazing film. And then we have two new releases the following weekend, the 27th and 28th. Robot Dreams, which is an animated film, which is delightful. And then Grizzly 399, Queen of the Tetons. So if you are a fan of wildlife and grizzly bears, this is definitely your film. I saw it with my 12-year-old at Mountain Film, and she loved it. So definitely come out and see that. Admission is free to all of the films. You can check out details at parkcityfilm.org for that.
Okay, and Maya and the Wave, you did show that before, right?
Mind the Wave and Kung Fu Panda 4, two encore screenings for us. So we did Kung Fu Panda 4. We had a huge turnout on the library patio, Park City Library patio. So we thought we'd bring that back as kind of a fun way to bring families together. And then Mind the Wave for Latino Arts Fest. So the film is in Portuguese and English with English subtitles. And it's just, she's just an incredible human being. I mean, has surfed, she has holds the world record, the Guinness Book of World Records for surfing the biggest wave that any woman has ever surfed. And then the next year she followed up by surfing the biggest wave that any human being, male or female, has ever surfed. And it's just unbelievable. It's really fun to show it outside and just kind of that immersive experience of just seeing what she also had to overcome to get to that point in her career. But she definitely kicks some butt. So
yeah, she's tenacious.
Get ready to be inspired. She is. Yeah. You cannot hold that woman back. She's amazing.
Yeah.
But yes, we thought that'd be a fun one to bring back, again, kind of celebrate the season.
And that, will that happen rain or shine?
Rain or shine, we're using an LED screen. So the same screen that we use at the Utah Olympic Park and over at Deer Valley. So we can start the films before sunset, which is great. So about 7:30 is a start time for that. The restaurants in the plaza, of course, will be open, so you can take advantage of those. We'll have some heat lamps. But yeah, I mean, unless it's, lightning, which is always something one wants to avoid in an outdoor setting, those films will go as planned. But if there's any updates, please check our website or certainly Facebook. We'll have some notifications there. But no need to sign up, just show up. There's free parking underneath the Pendry. And, great way to activate that space that's been really fun down at Canyons Village this past couple of years. They've done a great job of really activating that space with music and activities and, of course, now film.
So. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the September 30th film, because this is in partnership with Leadership Park City. I think probably one of Miles's favorite final kind of public deals that he's doing as
Leadership
Director.
Yes, this is kind of an ode. Yep, absolutely. So Miles Reiteman, as you mentioned, is retiring from his leadership position at Leadership Park City. And he wanted to round out his season, kind of his swan song, if you will, with an encore screening of High Country. We showed this a couple of years ago, and it was packed. I mean, literally, I think we had one seat left in the house. It was awesome. But what's great about this film is it's a documentary about the small ski town of Crested Butte, Colorado, and how they've managed to maintain their sense of character despite pressures from development and tourism. They were fighting a big molybdenum mine in Red Lady Basin, which they've been successful at, which we just found out about, which is awesome. But Miles is featured prominently in the film, if anyone's seen it, because, of course, he was instrumental in development of Crested Butte before he came over here to Park City. So it's a nice way to kind of bookend his career, kind of see what he did, you know, as a young professional, and, of course, the great impact he's had here in our community. After the film, Miles is going to lead a discussion with local community leaders and Leadership Park City alum. We've all been very fortunate. I think many of us have been very fortunate, amongst them, to have been part of that program under Miles' leadership, and just, you know, the opportunities that I've been able to take advantage of, I think we've all been able to take advantage of under his tutelage, have been incredible. So it'll be a nice homage to a leader in our community, someone who's had such a huge impact. So we invite everyone to come out. Admission for that is free. We do encourage people to register at parkcityfilm.org, because, as mentioned last time we showed the film, we literally had one seat left out of 424. So we would love to know that you're coming and make sure that you have a seat for that. But great film and great conversation afterwards. So please join us in bidding a fond farewell and thank you to Miles, although I think he's still staying in Park City, so he's not going too far, but yeah. But just in a different role.
There is a scene in there that it is worth just coming for, with the interview with Miles.
We need to bring a bike so we can, like, bike out of the film at the end, because he's on his prominent featured prominently on his bicycle in Crested Butte. It's a big biking town.
Yeah. Okay.
Nice townie.
I just want to also ask you, I mean, you've kind of got what you call these just different series. You've got, you know, well, you got Family Film Fest, you've got Raising Voices, and the Real Community series. I mean, what's the difference between all of these?
So we're trying to, the reason we created them, and actually this is why we changed our name about 8 years ago from Park City Film Series to Park City Film, so that we could better encapsulate all that we do. So we have a regular weekend series, which is Park City Film Series. We've retained that name because, you know, people still call things Albertsons, and there's some name changes are hard here in this town, but that kind of described more accurately what we were doing. Real Community is our longest running specialty program, and that's where we partner with other nonprofits to help elevate their mission through film. And as that program started to grow, we started to see that there were different aspects of it that we could emphasize probably more succinctly by giving it a different name. So that's where Raising Voices came to be, and that's where we showcase and celebrate cultures and communities that have been historically underrepresented in the arts. So Sugarcane would fall underneath that. Mm-hmm. Black Ice falls under that. I mean, certainly what Akwasa has done, you know, is revolutionary and groundbreaking, and really just kind of want to highlight what we're trying to do and why we program that film. Diversity is always an important part of our programming, but being really intentional through Real Community series, through the Raising Voices film series, of what we're trying to highlight, and that these might be films that you would not traditionally see, certainly in a commercial theater, but maybe not even other art house theaters. So really focusing the lens there more succinctly. And then we've over time evolved our film series for children. I mean, certainly as we look at the long game of film exhibition and independent cinema, you know, we need to cultivate that next generation. You know, if my children are not falling in love with independent cinema, they are certainly not going to go come see these great films when they are adults. So that's kind of the long game there. We've done everything from books to movies, to the dual language immersion film program, to foreign cinema for kids. And that the next iteration now is Family Film Fest, which can be films that are based on books. It can be films from all over the world that are appropriate for young film lovers. So that kind of, again, allows us to be a little more broad, but also, again, kind of message to folks that this would be something you could bring your kid to. And then Cine en Español is our Spanish language film series that has evolved from the dual immersion film program to really focus more specifically on Spanish language films. So it's kind of a lot. We've made in Utah, we've got a couple other programs, but again, trying to make it a little clearer to folks what we're trying to do. And then, of course, when we're fundraising, it helps us to be a little more specific in our, you know, grant applications of saying this is what we're going to do in this program and how we're going to deliver it.
Okay. All right. Anything else you wanted to mention?
No, films are rolling now. We had a great turnout last weekend to Thelma. It was fantastic to see so many people back in the theater. So tell your friends, Park City Film is open. Best popcorn in town. We are the only movie theater in town. Film exhibition, if you love it, as I hope everyone does, and if you don't, you need to come and watch a movie with us and remind yourself why it's so amazing. You know, you need to vote with your feet. Get a seat. you know, buy some tickets, get some popcorn, and that will help us bring in more great programs. But we've got a fun series programmed for the rest of this month, and then we'll be back with Ski Films in October and just have some more great things coming up. So check out parkcityfilm.org for all the details. Get your tickets either in advance, or certainly you can get them at the door an hour before showtime. So we look forward to seeing everyone at the movies.
Okay. Thank you, Katie.
Thank you.
Katie Wang is the executive director of Park City Film. You're listening to the Local News Hour on KPCW. Well, the Utah Avalanche Center is hosting its biggest party of the year tonight. The 31st annual Backcountry Benefit Party will feature live music from local alternative reggae band Urban Empire. This year's theme is retro. Participants are encouraged to come dressed in your favorite decades attire. Tickets for the family-friendly event are $60 for adults, $35 for youth and students. Tickets include dinner, two drink tickets, and an entry into the opportunity drawing. The party begins at 6 o'clock at the Black Diamond Store in Salt Lake City. More information and the link to purchase tickets is online at kpcw.org. Well, Summit County is accepting applications for its Recreation Arts and Parks RAP grant through September 30th. It'll award up to $1.6 million in grants this year to pay for public recreational facilities like parks, playgrounds, swimming pools, and more. The RAP committee will be interviewing applicants in late October. In November, the Summit County Council will approve funding recommendations. The RAP program is designed to create or improve amenities that benefit county residents. It's funded with a 0.1% in sales tax, or basically one penny for every $10 you spend. More information about how to apply for this round of grants is available online at kpcw.org. Well, time is running out to complete Summit County's community health assessment. It's the most important survey health officials say that they conduct. More than 500 people have already responded, according to Deputy Health Director Kendra Babbitts.
Which is wonderful, but we would love to get to 1,000. That survey will be open through November 1st.
And it's open to everyone in the community, not just residents.
Anyone who not only lives here, but works here, plays here, we want to know what you love about Summit County, what you think could improve about Summit County, because this is an opportunity to really elevate the voices in the community in addition to other data sources that we have regarding health outcomes and public health data.
The survey, called the Community Health Assessment, comes around every 3 to 5 years. Babbitts says it shapes real policy.
That might determine maybe we need to put more resources into providing vaccinations for certain populations. Maybe people are concerned that there's a food desert in their community and we can help influence more opportunities for fresh produce.
The survey opened in May and will run again until November 1st. The health department would also like to boost participation among Latino residents. The 10-minute survey is available in both English and Spanish online at summitcountyhealth.org. Well, Park City has issued a call for artists to submit bids for several new public art projects. KPCW's Parker Malatesta has more about that.
Park City Economic Development Program Manager Jenny Dearson says the city wants to add artwork to the study rooms at the library.
If you're looking to apply, each artist will be selected to receive $5,000 for their original framed artwork. And the theme for this project is called Park City's Palette. So we're looking for artwork that represents Park City's mountains, natures and trails, local landmarks, wildlife, outdoor adventure, heritage, Main Street, and sunrise and sunsets.
Dearson says the city has also put out a separate bid to decorate 19 new bus stops that are being installed around town.
Most of this artwork will be placed on panels on the new bus stops themselves. And some of the stops do not have shelters, but rather a pole or a bench. So we're asking artists to also to consider kind of being creative with that negative space and coming up with some ideas or sculptural elements on those specific stops. The theme for this project is Timeless Connections, and we're hoping to receive artwork proposals that help make connections to Park City's past, present, and future.
Artists will be awarded $5,000 for each bus stop. Dearson says artists can apply for multiple bus stops, but they do not intend to award a single artist to fill all 19. The city is also seeking an artist for a new shade structure that will be installed at the Creekside Bike Park next spring. More information about the public art requests for proposals can be found at kpcw.org. Parker Malatesta, KPCW News.
And again, a reminder that 23 years after a plane struck New York's Twin Towers on 9/11, Serve Park City will mark the anniversary with its Day of Service events. Put on by the Park City Humanitarians Group, volunteers are invited to the Day of Service and Remembrance to participate in projects around Park City this Saturday. Participants can choose from more than 25 service projects, including roadside and neighborhood cleanups, tree plantings, and projects that support local nonprofit missions. The service day begins at 8 a.m. with a breakfast at City Park, followed by a moment of remembrance for those who perished on September 11, 2001. Most service projects will run from 9:30 to noon. To register for a service project, you can see the list at kpcw.org. Once again, we've got 47 degrees here in Old Town Park City, and not warming up a whole bunch more. We've got an expected high of about 59 with a slight chance of a shower. Otherwise, we're going to see some of that smoke move into the area. Again, a high of 59, an overnight low of 38, 67 tomorrow. Heber City reporting 53 degrees, looking for a high today of 65 under mostly sunny skies, again with some smoke building, an overnight low of 32. Things are going to freeze. This is KPCW Park City.